Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
It's been estimated that about 15 million Americans suffer from feelings of isolation from society. And I'm talking about specifically senior Americans. Well, how can technology help? And what are the health effects of people having this feeling, this experience of the isolation, the depression that may come with it? Well, my guest today is going to talk about this and some of the things that she's doing. Deborah Berlin is very involved in a number of these issues. She's the founder of Consumer Policy Solutions and Project Goal. Debbie, welcome back to Of Consuming Interest.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
It's nice, always nice to see you. You're always doing some very interesting things. I was surprised to learn the health effects. I guess I wasn't really surprised. But tell us, what happens to a person who's feeling this isolation from society, the seniors in our policy? This is going to seriously affect their health.
So I was surprised as well to just learn that for those seniors who live in isolation, it's the health consequences are equal to smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
Good grief. That's astonishing. I mean, just to think about the how this results in costing the medical system, because these people get ill easier than I would think.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, you've identified many of the projects, many of the causes, and many of the solutions. And that's what we're going to try to deliver to our listeners today. So let's start first from why do we have so many people that are feeling isolated? And I gather these are people that are not using technology to reach out to the rest of the world. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, that's what I'm focused on, is how technology can help to reduce isolation for mm-hmm. those older adults who are living in that state. So technology and can offer so much to the older community today. And we look at technology and specifically going online as an opportunity to stay in contact with friends and family, to offer entertainment, to be a source of information, and many other benefits.
Okay. And yes, I'm a techie person. I mean, I don't know that I know that much necessarily, but I use a smartphone, I use a tablet, I use a computer. I don't know what I would do without them. And it's just so wonderful to be able to communicate with people no matter where they are in the world, and you can do it instantaneously. So I guess what I'm saying is, being one who's got gray hair, I'm encouraging people to get out there and explore these things. And that's exactly what you're doing. Now, you recently right. had a conference, a meeting, where you had some quite noted speakers. And you talked about this. It was your Project Goal, how to make it accessible. And you also addressed the issues of lower income seniors who may feel that they can't afford to do this. Is affordability a big barrier?
Yes, but you know what we've found, and actually the government recently did a study, NTIA, that found that the single biggest barrier for getting online for older adults is actually what we call relevance or value, the value proposition. And that, unfortunately, is that the individuals don't see what's in it for them. They haven't recognized that value proposition. So that's a much more difficult one to address. We
right.
have to show them what technology can do.
It's not necessarily the affordability. It's the fact that they don't see the need to do this. Well, you know, that's very interesting to me, because I don't know what I would do without my little gadgets. But then, of course, I've used them all my life. I guess I've been in computer programming and all kinds of things in various sundry careers. So How do you get over that barrier, Debbie? What is one of the things that you're doing in Project Goal to try to reach out to these seniors to let them know the value? I mean, that's a big challenge.
It is a big challenge. So it's very difficult to address that need. And while you and I can see that our technology is something we can't live without, we probably, you know, I know it's the first thing I do when I wake up, and it's probably the last thing I do before I go to sleep. And how many times do we check our email? Do we get online every day? But for an older individual who is not used to technology, it's a very different game. So what we want to try and do is find those uses that touch each individual, and it's not always the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we, you know, we have
you mean
to try
the reasons, how to make
exactly,
it relevant to them.
Exactly. How mm-hmm. to find what is most relevant to them. And that's what we're trying to do, is find each of those individual uses. And there are many. And it, you know, for one, it may be getting in touch with friends and family, with grandchildren. For others, it may be getting in touch with doctors or health information. And for yet others, it may be entertainment value. So we have to find those different uses and put them into place.
Well, for me, for example, I remember one of the first times I ever got an email from someone who was in another country. I found that so exciting. It was a friend of mine who was traveling. And I'm going, wow, this is awesome. I can keep track with her. Well, now I have friends who regularly send me travel logs and they're jaunting around the world, you know. That's just one little way that you stay in touch with your friends and family. So now you're partnering with corporations to try to do this kind of outreach. So what are some
right,
of the things
right.
what are some of the things that you're doing right now?
Well, I don't want to, you know, one of the things I do want to talk about, we did talk about the affordability question
exactly.
before. And I do want to mention that there are great things going on out there to try and help the lower income families and older individuals as well. And that's one of the things that's happening in public-private partnerships out there.
Okay.
So there are companies that are offering low-cost broadband services for individuals, for families and older individuals that are in need. And there are also programs that the government has to do that as well. Mm-hmm. So there are several different opportunities that are starting to get out there.
Let me just throw something out. It's hard to reach people when they don't have access to the internet, when they're not using technology.
Absolutely. And we talked about that.
That really is a challenge. That is a barrier right there.
We talked about that at our program, and that is a very good point. So we need to go out into the community and reach older individuals where they are, at community centers, at houses of worship, at, you know, various different locations,
mm-hmm.
because, right, they're not online.
They're not online.
Exactly.
So, I mean, how do you do them? Direct mailing is not going to work.
Not anymore. No.
No, it isn't. So that in itself is a real, real obstacle right there. Let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Deborah Berland. She is the founder of Consumer Policy Solutions and Project Goal. And we're talking about some of the things that she's doing and that projects that are going on with corporations and the government to help make the internet accessible in terms of cost, and also teaching seniors that it can be useful. That is a big obstacle. Now, some of the advantages that we've just been talking about, how you can reach people, you know, it's so fast. You can do it. It's easier than making a phone call, although I love my phone calls. You can get information online, contacting people, entertainment. All of those things are there if people will explore it. Your point before we took a break was that needing to reach into the community, retirement facilities, what about assisted living facilities and all of
right,
those?
Right.
You know, even though somebody may be in a facility, that doesn't mean that they're interacting with other people.
Yeah, many of those facilities have computer labs or some sort of centers where they offer digital literacy training. They offer the opportunity to use computers in their centers. So that's the good news, that there are opportunities in residential centers for older individuals.
Yes. So they just need to explore that and get up. Do you think part of this, and as you said, the biggest obstacle seems to be that they don't see the need. But do you think there's also an inherent hesitancy or fear of technology? I mean, I had a friend say to me one time, well, I'm just afraid I'll just really screw up my computer. I said, you can't really screw it up. I mean, you know, you could I don't think you're going to do unless you drop it in a bucket of water or something. They're pretty good at terms of using with people using them who are not terribly proficient. And I guess part of it is people to understand that while they can be extremely complex, there are very simple procedures and things that you can use on a computer that doesn't require tremendous skill.
Well, you know, I think there's some misconceptions when it comes to computer usage and technology.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, 10 years ago or longer or even less than 10 years, we all remember when we got a new computer, how long it took us to set that computer up and
use it.
Well,
that's true.
And now if you think about it today, how long it takes you to get a computer in your home and use it, it's almost instantaneous that you get on that computer and use it.
And the same thing with smartphone. I had to get a new phone back in the summer. And I thought, oh dear, is this going to be a chore? Well, it really wasn't. I mean, I kind of had fun learning some of the new things that were on my new phone.
Right.
But it really was very easy because most everything was transferred over to my new phone.
Yes.
And
yes.
So I'm just like, oh, well, this is just the old phone, but better.
And our devices are becoming more intuitive as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Not only are our computers easier, but if you think about our tablets, and for an older individual, that's a great device. So you can do so much on a tablet now. You can do email. And you can, you know, go online.
If you really don't want a computer, you could use, yeah, you can use the tablet.
Right. So as a device to stay in touch, to do searches, to be entertained, to get information, you know, a tablet could serve as a great opportunity for to bridge the internet for an older individual to start learning how to use technology.
And you know what? If they get a smartphone or a tablet, you can talk to it. You can ask it to find things. You can ask it to call. I mean, it's just, it's so much fun.
Right, right.
You know, maybe that's the message we need to convey to seniors. It's really fun to use your gadgets.
It can be.
Exactly. I mean, I look at it as fun.
Yeah, but I think there is this thought that you have to spend hours and hours learning. You have to go to a class and spend hours learning how to use basic technology. And really, if you get one of these devices where you can just get on and start to do the most basic things, you can really have all the benefits of going online without those hours and hours of
That's right.
Involved.
That is very true.
Besides, do more complex things.
All you need to do is have a young person around in your family or a friend or neighbor. They'll tell you how to use everything.
Well, there are certainly programs that are intergenerational with training programs, which are great as well.
Right.
But really, I don't think we need to scare off older individuals
thinking
that you need hours of training to use technology.
You don't.
You can grab an intuitive device, a tablet, even some smartphones, and just start using them, and you can do it.
And you know, I found when I went in and bought my first smartphone that the people were extremely helpful. And if I had a question about how to use it, I mean, this has been some years ago, but if I had a question about how to use it, I'd just call up the salesperson and he'd tell me what I needed to know.
Right.
So it is not. I think you have to look at it as that this is going to be fun.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And,
right.
You know, you don't think, oh, my God, there's this thing I've got to learn. That's not really the way to approach it.
Yeah.
You need to approach it that it is fun. And it is fun. If you have the right attitude towards it, you can have an awful lot of fun.
Yeah. And I do know that some older adults are also concerned with some other issues.
Mm-hmm.
Security, safety, privacy.
Sure.
And those are other issues that sometimes keep individuals offline. Concerns that can also be addressed with simple tools, with simple information.
Mm-hmm.
And the same concerns that you have offline, concerns online, you know, the world is the
That's
same
right.
online
That's right.
as they are offline. You just really need to be an informed consumer, an aware consumer, and you can be protected.
Debbie, what is your website? How do people find the information that you've put together? Some very good information for people.
Sure, theprojectgold.org.
projectgoal.org, nonprofit organization that Debbie's a founder. And honestly, I've known you for a number of years, and you've been very involved, and you've had a consistent message for consumers and seniors in particular. So I like that. I like what you're doing. I like the fact that you're trying to expand the horizons, and especially when I find out the health implications of people living in isolation. And I would swear to you, if you're home alone and you have a gadget, you can reach out to anybody. I mean, truthfully, I just think that it's such a wonderful thing for people. Anyway, again, the website is projectgoal.org. So go visit it. You're going to learn a lot about what Debbie's doing and what industry and government are also doing in terms of accessibility and training and so on. And let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Deborah Berlin. She is the founder of Consumer Policy Solutions and Project Goal. So it's really encouraging that you're out there fighting the fight, Debbie. I mean, I know you go to the electronics industry shows and you do all of that stuff, and you come back and talk to me about smartwatches and smart this and that and the other. I'm very impressed. But also, your point is so valid that it does not have to be complex.
Right.
So where do you go from here?
Well, good question. I think from here, what I'm looking for in the future is that technology is going to offer lots of answers, I think, as we go forward. We are now at a point where so many of our devices are now connected, and we are going to have this world of, as we've talked about, the Internet of Things, where everything is connected to everything. And so for the aging population, there's going to be an opportunity for so much of what is around us to be connected. And we need to really embrace that opportunity to be a part of that and to take advantage of that.
Yeah, and that's a great message to give to people, because there's so many doors that are opening now. And it's amazing to me how technology has just this curve, if you start looking at when we come back from just the old dial cell phones to where we are now with smartphones and all the gadgets, smart tablets and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's just almost straight up in the air, the development.
It's amazing the smart world we're going to be in. And so, you know, for our lower income consumers, for our older individuals who are on the low income level, who, you know, are being helped along by government programs, by company programs. We've got Comcast out there and AT&T and Charter, who I had at this program this week, mm-hmm. who are just doing great things to help those folks along. For fixed income older adults who are also struggling.
How do they identify the population, and how do they get the message out? Because as we said, you can't do it with technology. So how are they getting the message to these people, to this population?
That's just a great question. It takes quite a bit of outreach, working in partnership with community organizations.
You've got to get out there, yeah.
Lots of many different community organizations in partnership, and as I mentioned before, with religious organizations, with community organizations, and having them help on the ground to work with those.
Yeah, because it's going to require a big effort to reach people who are not connected.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So it's a little bit, boggles the mind just a little bit about there's a lot of groundwork to be done.
Absolutely.
A lot of community outreach. And you know what? Families can help. I mean, can't the kids encourage their parents? Show them how to use technology. I mean, I have some friends that I've said to them.
If you have a family member.
But I have one friend. I'm her research person. If she wants to know something, I go look it up on the computer for her. And I keep saying to her, you really ought to get a computer. I think you'd love it. No, I don't want to do that. I'm afraid I'll spend too much time on it. Well, I probably spend too much time on it. No, I don't think I do. But you know, I get that kind of feedback from people, and I'm saying, oh, but you would love it, and I think she would love it. You know, that's really
right,
funny.
Absolutely. Having a trusted friend or family member is great to help you with technology if you mm-hmm. have someone there. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I always tell people, if I can do it, I know you can. So it's...
But many don't have that trusted friend or family member to help them along.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. That's right. You know, well, that's why the isolation, uh-huh. the people who live Correct. Alone or live in, if they're ill. But, you know, even if you are ill at home, I think having technology to do all these things that we've just talked about can help you. I'm still reeling from the impact of isolation on health.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the equivalency of smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
You know, another community that's important to the older adult is the caregivers.
Yes.
So caregivers can be an important point of contact in terms of introducing technology to mm-hmm. the older community mm-hmm. as well, and working with them as on it as well.
Are you reaching out to, I mean, there are companies that specialize in providing home visitors and so on. Are any of those part of the groups that you will be reaching out to?
I know that other aging organizations are working very closely with those organizations.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, because you've got to have somebody that has the access to these people in order to get the word out there. It's not intimidating.
Right.
And there is real reasons to use it and so on. Well, do you see, do you feel that we're making strides? Do you have some benchmarks that you see that we're attaining some goals?
The numbers have gone up in terms of broadband adoption.
Oh, great.
For older adults. It has been slow. But so has broadband adoption for the general adult population. It has not. It has slowed in recent years, and the Pew numbers have shown that. And I think some of the reasons for the overall broadband adoption numbers slowing has been because of smartphone adoption.
Sure.
In the general adult population numbers.
Yeah, because if you have a smartphone, you can just about do without the others.
Yes. So many only have a smartphone, and they don't go and buy an additional device to connect at home. They only have the smartphone mm-hmm. and they save money that way, particularly those who don't have as much money.
Right.
For older adults, that may not be as true, because the smartphone adoption numbers are far lower in the older adult population. Mm-hmm. But for the older adults, the numbers have ticked up a little bit, you know, slowly in recent
years. That's encouraging.
So we are gaining, but we are still far behind the general adult population. Mm-hmm. So we do need to push those numbers up. And I think it's all about finding that value, mm-hmm. all about increasing that understanding of what broadband, what going online can do for you.
Well, you know, the term broadband, I used to think, what is that? What is that talking about? We're just talking about internet access, right? Well,
we're talking about, you know, not dial-up. We're
right,
talking
right.
about a higher speed connection
exactly.
at home, which really is the value.
Well, the dial-up used to be you sit there and you wait.
And you don't get what you need out of your connection if you're dialing up.
Right.
You really need that higher speed connection. That's that's where you're going to get the value. That's where you
so
can
we're
do
just
the
talking
things
about high speed internet access,
exactly.
folks, and it's available. It's out there.
It's out there.
And there are programs
Absolutely.
That are being offered that are low cost that we can afford. I like the fact that companies are reaching out. Well, you know, I can't believe our time's gone, Debbie. Thank you so much for coming.
This has been great. Thank you so much.
We've been talking with Deborah Berlin. She's the founder of Consumer Policy Solutions and Project Goal. The website is projectgoal.org, and that's Project GOAL.org. You've been listening to Call for Action of Consuming Interest right here on 1500 AM. I'm Shirley Rooker. Thank you for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.